Good evening and welcome to the Talk It Out podcast with Neil Bailey Harper. I am Neil Bailey Harper and I'm here tonight off the cuff with when we had no cable. Hey, it's not like I'm wishing we can go back. I'm just glad we had those times. The music I'm listening to this evening all comes from The Q, Quincy Jones. This is Killer Joe. Today, I hope it finds you well. I hope you are enjoying the life in the sunshine, because every day above ground is just that, a life in the sunshine. And I got to thinking about things that were, that are no more. You know, being a man of a certain age, and I want to thank everyone for listening, all the ages that do tap into this podcast, whether you're a man of a certain age or a woman of a certain age like me, or your 20s or 30s or 40s, you are all welcome and I appreciate your listening. I will also like to let you know that we have started podcasts on YouTube at Mr. MR period, the letter B, music and drama. That's MR, capital MR period, Mr. B, capital B, music and drama. You can find two recent podcasts we put up. One is a performance podcast, and the other one will be completely online by this weekend. So, as I was saying, I was thinking about things that aren't anymore. Things that if we were to make a movie of it now, it would be called a period piece. Things like a phone booth. Things like, I don't know, an NFL electric board game. Yeah, as we got for Christmas as kids. And, or things like, I don't know, VHS tapes. Or who makes a VHS machine now? We know nobody makes a Beta machine anymore. But just things that don't exist, but the joy we got out of those things. The joy that the things we saw, the things we learned, the only way we could share commonalities in viewership in our society in some ways. And it led me to thinking about the difference things were before cable. Now, one of the blessings in my life, and if you are a person of a certain age like me, one of the blessings in your life is that you got to live through this all. Or we are living through this all. We go back to the days where we played phonographic records, both it had a phonograph record player with 33 speed, 45 speed, and 78 speed. Even though we never used 78 speed, it always reminded us of Alvin and the Chipmunks, something else that was period driven. That you youngsters will not recall, but put pen to paper and go research it. It's a joy. We went through cassette tapes. Some of us had we had 8-track tape players, not only in our homes, but 8-track in your car was big time. Oh yeah. About the size of a VHS tape. And then we evolved. You know, the more advanced things get, the bigger things get, they become smaller. So we went to a cassette tape. Cassette players in the car. Some show-offs had cassette and VHS. Just like some people at home had VHS and Beta machines. We went from the albums and the 45 records to the compact disc, to the Blu-ray, to now there's nothing you can put your hands on. It's all virtual. And it's cool. And you know, I hear kids talk about the HQ quality or something, or the 4 quality. I don't know. I understand that I should know more about that than what I do. But pictures are crisper, clearer. Music is more precise. Don't make it better. Just make it what it is. More precise. But just reminiscing on these things for some reason, well, I know the reasons, but again, part of the theme of this podcast is thank you for listening, and I will definitely tell you my journey, and I'm not going to tell you a whole lot of my business. And I'm glad you still choose to listen. I was thinking about just from a joyful standpoint, how I grew up and what I learned and how I like to entertainment, what I learned through entertainment, what I saw, what I watched. Let me see. Over-the-air cable television, I believe, began in... Well, okay, let me tell you what I rated based on ESPN started in September of 1979. Yeah. The first thing ESPN showed, well, it was just 30 minutes of videotape highlights. Nothing was live. This is Quincy Jones, tell me a bedtime story, so I will. They showed the tapes of, I believe, a Billie Jean King and Chris Everett tennis match, U.S. Open. After that, they showed a professional men's softball game. There were no, although yes, the NBA was there, the NFL was there, but most of the events that were shown from professional sports were on tape delay. August of 1981, MTV entered, and MTV in its origin was just a music video platform. We didn't get to the reality stuff until the 90s when Real World came, I believe in 91. First 10 years, though, it was just a video music platform. And they were cool. And it was different because everybody could see the same thing all around the country. Maybe different times based on your time zones, but everyone could see the same thing. ESPN, MTV, they evolved. They evolved into what they are now, but in their conception, they connected a lot of people in a lot of ways. But again, when we had no cable, here's what I want you guys to, you know, I like to, when you're around people that you having fun, having a cocktail or two, or you're playing, you want to look for a parlor game to play, I got a couple for you. One would be, give everybody a piece of paper and tell them to write down their 10 favorite movies. No discussion among all whoever's participating. No discussion. Just write down your 10 favorite movies. And then write down your 5 favorite TV shows. And maybe even during this game, you have a part where, and I played this kind of spontaneously a year or so ago. It was a blast. Yeah, we were feeling well. But it was a blast. Start singing theme songs of the TV shows. How many theme songs can we sing in the last 20 years? That related like they did in the 60s, in the 70s. I'm not saying we were better. I'm saying that was then and this is now. And I can enjoy that. And a lot of what we see today, we saw a version of it then. So, have everybody fill out their 10 favorite movies. And then after everybody's finished, see how many of your movies are on somebody else's movie list. Name your favorite cartoons from the 60s and 70s. See how many of your cartoons are on somebody else's list. Again, this works best when you don't discuss it. You just play the games. Start singing theme songs. That's after out your fourth frosty beverage. But it's a blast. It really is. And with that in mind, I think about what I watched or what we watched. On television, there wasn't a whole lot to watch for a kid then. I do remember Sunday nights, however, the Flintstones. The Flintstones was a precursor to The Simpsons. Not as crude, but it was a nighttime cartoon sitcom. Does anyone remember after the Flintstones, do you remember Johnny Quest? Yeah, they couldn't put a black kid as a cartoon, but they had a, I guess he was Indian. I'm not sure. They had a friend named Haji. There was a Johnny Quest, Haji, the Jetsons. Wow. Who's thinking ahead on the Jetsons? That's really futuristic. And the music you saw, the music I saw on TV, outside of guest appearances on variety shows, which everyone had a variety show, which is a long lost treasure in entertainment. At one time, the Flip Wilson Show in 1971 was the number one show rated on television. The Carol Burnett Show, I don't care who you were, you liked Carol Burnett. The Jackie Gleason Variety Show. Dean Martin's Variety Show. I don't know. So many people had variety. Hee Haw was a variety show. Rowan and Martin's Laughing was a variety show. All of these were prime time shows. The soap operas in the 60s were daytime. The primetime soap operas didn't evolve until the 80s. Now, when you talk about the 60s, we saw the soap operas through our parents, through your moms mostly. We didn't really watch them, but we knew what they were watching. In the 60s, the top five soap operas were As the World Turns. CBS was winning the war of daytime television. As the World Turns, The Guiding Light, Search for Tomorrow, The Edge of Night, and The Secret Storm. Now, as it progressed in the 70s and 80s, I remember shows like, I remember the tags to them, like Sands Through the Hourglass, So Are the Days of Our Lives. And, you know, all of those kind of soap operas, but and that was cool. That was it. Again, it didn't turn into nighttime until maybe the 70s or 80s with shows like Dallas and I think it was Knots Landing, things of that nature. But mainly, there were movies. I'm a firm believer that the movies of the 60s what we see today are basically some version of some remake of a movie from the 1960s. This is when directors went out on limbs. This is when we saw things that we hadn't seen before. Well, again, I'm sorry. I saw things I hadn't seen before. Now, the one thing I will say, living in a city like Philadelphia, we had everyone had the over-the-air channels. You had ABC, CBS, and NBC. And then you had the public, PBS, Public Broadcasting Service, which I don't care what anyone says. Public Broadcast Service grounded this country. It gave this country things that it really needed, especially in the neighborhood of children's programming. Basically free kindergarten. Sesame Street was originally tested and tried at WHYY in Philadelphia. Now, 1969, so I was a little bit too old to be a part of one of the kids in the test program. But when they showed it, a lot of people liked it, and they showed it to the kids, and the kids liked it, but they wanted more puppets. At that time, the only puppets on the show were Bert and Ernie in the pilot. And they took it from there, and we educated a generation. Yeah. On basics, on the foundations, we educated a generation with Sesame Street. This is Quincy Jones. Love I Never Had It So Good. To me, the movies of the 60s are something that I revere. However, I don't always agree with the most influential. You know, you get lists for everything. People will tell you this was good, that was good. You know, history tells you the 100 favorite. What's the most influential? What's the most important? Well, I pulled up a couple of lists just to see what's seen to be the most important, most influential. And I probably disagree with a lot of them. But I do like some of them. What I consider influential are movies, for me as a kid, you know, in the late 60s, 10, 11, 12 years old, in the early 70s, things I'd never seen before. And a lot of the movies I first saw, I never went to the movies to see. I saw on what we call the UHF channels. See, Philadelphia had the three over the air, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And I don't remember the call letters for the UHF channels, but there were three of those too. I remember the name, the numbers, Channel 17, Channel 29, and Channel 48. And you turn the knob for the over-the-air channels, and behind the knob was a dial. And you dialed up to 29, 17, and 48. And you saw a lot of great movies. Mostly they were comedies. I've seen every Elvis Presley movie, from Girl Happy to The Kid. I forgot, we did Return to Sender. He did that song and it was really good. I saw a lot of my siblings and I, we loved the Jerry Lewis movies. We loved the Jerry Lewis movies. Not some of them comedies with Dean Martin, but most of them by himself. Big Mouth, The Disorderly Orderly, things like that. But occasionally you saw a good drama. I remember watching, which is still my favorite movie to this day. Two of my favorite movies to this day. One and two, if I have to label them and number them. To Kill a Mockingbird. To Kill a Mockingbird, I just thought it was incredible. And 12 Angry Men. I saw them both on UHF channels at night. I also remember seeing movies that discussed subjects I had never thought about. The Children's Hour, with Lillian Hellman's book, with Shirley MacLaine and James Garner. The Apartment, I believe it's a William Wilde film, with Jack Lemmon, one of my favorite actors as a kid, as a little black kid in Philadelphia. I love Jack Lemmon. And Shirley MacLaine. Jack Lemmon and Lee Remick, Days of Wine and Roses. First time I saw a movie about alcoholism. Yeah. Psycho. Now, a lot of people say Psycho was scary. It was okay. I remember also, here's the thing about that too. I remember in junior high school, and anybody that went to Vaux in the 70s, back me up on this. I remember in junior high school we had movies in our auditorium, and I remember them showing us Psycho. Yeah. Seventh, eighth, ninth graders, I remember them showing us Psycho. That wasn't scary. The Birds were scary. The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. 1967, I think, was the year that brought in levity to life for me. I saw Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Yeah. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Katharine Hepburn. And you know who he is. I'm all over the place, y'all, but work with me. Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. Just a great movie. Other movies from the 60s. Now, again, those were the ones that stuck with me because they were about things I'd never seen before. Clint Eastwood westerns, like A Fistful of Dollars, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, things like that. But it was before cable. It was before we knew what everyone else is. I don't know. I was a kid. It was enjoyable. It was things that I hadn't seen before, things that I referenced before, the kind of music I hadn't seen before. So that was Quincy Jones, Never Had It So Good. Before that, there was Tell Me a Bedtime Story. Before that, there was Killer Joe. And I'm going to end with this. This is Quincy, Count Basie, and Frank Sinatra. Fly Me to the Moon. Fly me to the moon. If you know anything about Philadelphia, there's a station, radio station called WWDB, which played nothing but Frank Sinatra music on Sundays. And finding the combination of him and Quincy Jones is everything to me, musically. Also, Frank Sinatra is the favorite musician of my oldest brother, Wayne. My second oldest brother, Wayne. Everything is Frank Sinatra, musically. And at his 70th birthday party, I had the honor to play this song live for him. coming into, walking into the party. Wayne's in not the best health right now. And when we had no cable, we had each other. And that bond stayed. Wayne's 13 years older than me. But the life lessons I learned and the life lessons I'm still learning will help me with my children. And if they choose to have children, it's going to help them too. Everything about Frank Sinatra, on the outside, again, I don't pretend to know the man, but everything about him was smooth and complete and effortless. And that's how I viewed the character of my brother. Very smart, very smooth, very effortless. So, when we had no cable, I learned to put things where I wanted them to be in my head. So, I'm blessed to have lived not for cable and after cable, and I'm blessed to talk to you on this podcast, and I'm blessed to have my brother Wayne. I'm going to let this roll out, y'all. This is the Talking Out Podcast with Neil Bailey Harper. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Talk to you tomorrow, Wayne.